This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's truly an honor to welcome to the program, his first time on this program, Jim Rowland of St. Martin's Cafe is live in studio. The one, the only Sam the Shark. How are you, sir?
Wonderful, Coy.
It's good to see you.
It's great to be seen.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And of course, for those who don't know Sam the Shark, that was your media persona for many years, right?
For many, many years. You see him around and just a little touch to bring back memories as, hey, Sam the Shark here. But it's just actually Jim Rowland.
And that used to be just on the radio all the time. You'd hear Sam the Shark inviting folks to come down.
Sometimes when I was shaving or something, I'd do it in the mirror, but it was on the radio. It was just a persona to get out there and let everybody know about Martin's. So
there you go, Martin's, of course, which celebrates 24 years last Friday, right?
Yep, 24 big years we hit. Was a great little birthday party. A lot of fun. A lot of people. The cake was wonderful. I ate two pieces myself. But, it was nice celebrating it and being in this town for that long and more.
Yeah, congratulations. It's quite an accomplishment.
Man.
You know, it's like, I look at it as like a marriage of 24 years. It's like, gosh, what's the secret? And so I have to ask you, 24 years of a restaurant, that is very, anybody that's been in the restaurant business, whether you're a waiter or a bartender, and of course, I have worked with you there in your restaurants, it's difficult to do. It's a really hard thing to do. What's the secret to a great restaurant?
I think, you know, when you look at it, or I look back over the years, I could say patience. Yes, I've gained patience in my life. But I think a lot of it is you do what you do best. You change, but you don't change. You keep the place up. You paint it. You take care of everything. But probably more important, you take care of the people that work for you and the people that walk through that door. I've got people that work 17, 18 years for me. My partner, Russ Hamilton, has been with me for 12-plus years. Tremendous individual. I have people who have been in my kitchen 5, 6, 7 years, out on the floor 7, 8, 9 years. And it's just, you make it fun. It's work. It's business. We're all making a livelihood. But you got to remember, it's not me paying everybody. It's the people walking through the door. So a large portion of that is this. Yesterday I was working lunch and one of my regular customers from day one was in. And he was talking to someone who goes, yeah, I've been coming here for years. And they go, I've been coming here for years too. And they go, well, I've been coming here for over 10 years. He goes, I've been coming for over 20 and we're going to stop there. So I think, you know, a lot of it is just you got to do what you love. The day you don't, get out of it. But put your heart and soul into it. Have fun while you're doing it. Take care of everyone around you and those that walk through that door, and, you know, it'll all be okay. It will.
We're talking with Jim Rowland, the owner of and founder of St. Martin's Cafe on the UVA corner, which is counting down now to its 25th anniversary here in Charlottesville. Jim, where are you from? Give us a little Jim 101, where you're from and how you got into this line of work.
I'm originally from a little place called Fairview Beach, Virginia, King George County, the other side of Fredericksburg.
On the river, right?
On the river. Yeah. Well, the river there, I couldn't throw a silver dollar across. It's 2.5 miles wide.
Yeah.
But I came to school here at UVA in 1972. Saw a lot of changes, as you can imagine, over the year from just growing up as a young man through school and through business. And when I left here, worked in restaurants to help pay for my schooling, ended up going to Louisville, Kentucky. Working down there for about 4.5 years, worked for a corporation, learned both sides of the stick and what was going on. Came back to town, to Charlottesville for a wedding, friend's wedding. Went to the chapel, having fun. Turned around to my date, asked her to marry me. We did. Moved back to Charlottesville. And that's how Martin's kind of came about. We literally took a job. It was called University Cafeteria years ago. Turned into a place called Sophie's.
Which, for folks who are just joining us, that's now where Three is located.
Three.
Is there now. But it's been a string of places. But for most of its history, it was the University Cafeteria.
Exactly. And then when Sophie's was open, it was floundering a bit. And we were hired on to consult onto it. Moved back to town. Did that. And then part of the deal that we got was TJ's Pub, which was Page's old florist building. They built that whole little mini mall there. So we negotiated TJ's and then shut it down and turned it into the St. Martin Cafe. Like that. So that's history, I guess.
And yeah. We're talking with Jim Rowland of St. Martin's of the UVA Corner. So tell me where you are and tell me about the conversation when you are perhaps in TJ's and you're looking around, because TJ's, for folks who don't know, was sort of dark, and it was pool tables and a lot of locals, and very, very different from what you turned that space into, to St. Martin's. Tell me your thinking when the idea for St. Martin's was born, and surfboards and beach scenes and the mug club, and give us an idea.
You hurt my head, Barefoot. In all honesty, I'm a man of the ocean and beach. I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. I'm heading up this weekend for my 25th year in a row.
To see Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got to pay tribute to the gentleman. And as it turned out, the opportunity, the space, everything came open. And I like the Caribbean. I continue to go down there with my wife, Lisa. It's where we honeymooned at. And St. Martin's is just right down the middle of it. And so when we opened it up, we wanted to turn a place at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains into a casual place where you can have fun. But when you walk through that door, you're walking into an island. So from the aquarium and marlin and sailfish hanging, tropical shirts, names of menu items down the line, I think it makes you feel at home. It makes you want to have on a pair of flip-flops, a nice floral shirt, grab a bite to eat, and just relax. And that's what life should be about, relaxing in the long run.
St. Martin's Cafe celebrates 24 years on the UVA Corner, and we're honored to be talking with proprietor and founder Jim Rowland, the one, the only Sam the Shark. And phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you're a fan of St. Martin's, I know Jim would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 977-1070. Jim, we were just hearing from President John Casteen talk about the Amethyst Initiative, which has been making headlines recently, efforts on the part of some university presidents, which Chris Callahan points out is mostly private school presidents. The public schools really haven't bought into this yet. And President John Casteen says, I'm not convinced, but, you know, I'm open to, you know, convince me. You've been in the restaurant business when it was 18 to drink or when it was 21. Did you see major changes? And what are your thoughts on this idea of lowering the drinking age?
I think like anything, and especially being an older guy now with maybe a little more wisdom and experience looking back, it's a double-edged sword. Like President Casteen says, there's pros, there's cons. Convince me. Well, from my perspective, it's a matter of legalities. Right now, it's the law. So it's 21, so we enforce it. If we turn it into 18, then I think what we need to do is also enforce that law, because why punish everyone if you're responsible enough to elect the president, a local representative, to vote in any election, to serve for your country? Then you should be, I really think, able to have a alcoholic beverage. But if you abuse that privilege like anything else, then you should be punished for it. On the other hand, it will make life easier for a lot of large part of society that governs this, that runs the machines, the laws, in like that. But on the other hand, I think if you look at the statistics, the overwhelming majority of the accidents and things that come out of alcohol abuse are in a younger age group. Are they old enough and mature to maintain it? If by dropping the legal age, would that help it? I think you need to start, like we did many years ago, educating the youth of America about what alcohol is. Nothing wrong with it. Don't abuse it, just like anything else. If you want to have a glass of wine with dinner, it goes on in Europe all the time. And I think if you're brought up with that perspective, then that's a great thing. But at the same time, what you got to remember is, who's going to enforce it? Does it take any pressure off people at universities? I think it's up to them to make the decisions, but we have to, as a society, look at the both sides of it.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember when I was in high school, There were a lot of kids. If the drinking age is 18, high school's 15, 16, 17-year-olds know 18-year-olds a lot more than they know 21-year-olds. And I can remember in high school, beginning in the 9th and 10th grade, kids were having their, you know, 18-year-old buddies buy beer for them and bring a six-pack to a party.
Yeah.
And I think you would see that. And that would be a con, I guess. But I also totally agree with you that if you can vote and you can serve this nation and wear the uniform of this nation, you should be recognized as adult and responsible enough to make a decision about buying an alcoholic beverage.
Just remember, laws are designed to keep our society even-keeled. Punish the offender, not everybody, but let's educate everyone first. That's the whole key, is training and educating people.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Rowland, founder of St. Martin's Cafe, celebrates 24 years on the UVA corner here in Charlottesville. Jim, why don't you throw those headphones on and we'll go to the phone. Susan is on line one in Charlottesville. Susan, welcome to the program. You're on with Jim Rowland. You go right ahead.
Hey, I just have a comment about this lowering the drinking age.
Sure thing.
First of all, I'd like to point out that a lot of 18-year-olds are still in high school. The drinking age was 18 when I was growing up, and I was 18 in January in high school, you know, in my senior year. So, and there were junior high kids with alcohol poisoning for drinking cherry vodka at 8 a.m. in the morning. So,
oh, God.
You know, just because the drinking age was 18 didn't mean that everybody suddenly didn't abuse that. And the other thing is, you know, I agree, in Europe they do grow up with that, but the binge drinking culture right now has gotten so bad that I don't think you could easily retrain that. If you made it 18, a lot of those college presidents are saying that would take sort of the forbidden fruit aspect away, and a lot of this binge drinking would disappear. But it's such a cultural thing now. A lot of these kids, that is a party. You can't have a party unless you're getting blasted.
It wouldn't disappear right away is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and it could take a very long time. And there's a lot of kids that have gotten the message, don't drink and drive. And gosh, the statistics were there's 60% less accidents, alcohol-related, among that age group when they raised the drinking age. But a lot of the kids, I have three children too, but a lot of the kids have gotten the message, don't drink and drive, but they think it's fine to drink until you're just absolutely wasted as long as you're not driving.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's going to take a long time to get the drink responsibly, be an adult. That's what I told my kids. It's not, drinking isn't wrong, and it, you know, if you could drink a drink or two and have a good time with it, that'd be fine. But the problem is, that doesn't seem to be the case.
Right. It's a tough nut to crack. Susan, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right.
Always look forward to you joining the conversation. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We've been talking with Jim Rowland, the founder of St. Martin's Cafe. Before I let you go, you got any unforgettable moments in your years on the corner at St. Martin's? Any unforgettable nights or...
Probably about 5,000 of them, but a few I'd like to talk about. I think some of the greatest moments there, besides meeting some of the greatest people in the world, which the large majority of them are Charlottesville people, university people. People come here and stay here for a reason. I think some of the neatest things that I've seen over all these years is the kids, as I refer to them, coming back with their children. And their children looking at me going, golly day, he was my age here with my dad. And I think that's probably some of the most memorable things, other than meeting my wife at St. Martin's, Lisa.
Right, right.
But when you look at the generational change, structures can change, colors can change, trees can change, businesses can change. It's the same people, and now it's the next generation, and that's a really neat thing. It's the next generation that's smarter, that's brighter, that is more educated. I think, especially when they're drinking, the American society has done a tremendous amount to educate the youth, and it's changed a lot. I have kids who come in now who say, I know I'm not driving, but that doesn't matter. They understand that. Designated driver programs, think before you drink. I think the university and the programs they offer and the education of the students when they come in has changed radically. In 1972, when I came here, we were having keggers. So y'all that don't understand what a kegger is, we'll talk about it later. But now I think it's gotten to be a lot more educated, a lot more awareness. But yes, there's problems everywhere out there. You've got to educate the people and enforce the laws on it.
So despite the stereotypes of universities and what some would say UVA in particular, you on the corner, you've seen a difference. You've seen all that. That stuff has made a difference.
I've seen a giant difference. My daughter turns 35 this year. Age giveaway. And just in her growing up and seeing how it's changed. And I'll be honest about it. You know, you can say a lot of times, well, oh, the whole university, nothing's changed at all. It has changed a lot. Binge drinking is a problem. Binge drinking existed 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, they were doing it in the 1830s.
It's been going on forever.
It's always been a problem at UVA. Always. Yeah. Since the first week.
Probably at all universities and schools because you're away from home. At the same time, what you got to remember is if you come in educated and aware and it starts at home, then I think you see it as a perspective. And you got to keep it all in perspective because life's way too short not to.
Yeah, and I think that's the greatest lesson here is it does start at home. Don't wait for it to start on the first year hall. No. It has to start at home. And that's an excellent point. Jim Rowland, the founder, the proprietor at St. Martin's. Go see him there. They're celebrating 24 years on the UVA corner, counting down to 25. And here's to 25 more.
Thanks,
and congratulations,
Boy.
Jim.
25 more for us both.
Yeah, there you go.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.